say that what the Lord that has called you to live this morning. Amen. So thank you for the musicians. Enjoyed that song service, those beautiful songs, beautiful voices, and talented people. So glad to be among the people who have sold out their gifts for a mess of Cadillacs, as Brother Brandon would say, like so many have done. Amen. I suppose all of us over the course of our life have had ideas of fame and so forth, and being in the limelight and so forth, but all you have to do is just do a little bit of a looking, and you'll find out that that's not a very good lifestyle. Amen. So, just welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to be with you. I want to remind everyone that Brother Jeremy Schreiner will be in service with us this Wednesday night. Excuse me. He'll be ministering for us and maybe singing for us. And so, just want to remind everyone so that you can be in prayer about that service. Looking forward to it. He doesn't get out this way very often, but I heard that he was going to be here, so I nabbed him. And so said he'd be happy to come by and be with us. Let's open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 19. Some people in preaching are like taking off like helicopters. They just take off, and I'm kind of like an airplane, but here in just a little bit, I'll forget about my voice and we'll get going here. But Revelation chapter 19, verse 1, very, very familiar scripture that we've read so many times ourselves. But I was listening to the sermon, Marriage of the Lamb, the other day as Brother Brandon was preaching it, and I really, really spoke to me and felt like I wanted to bring to you, try to bring to you, looking through the eyes of a prophet, the marriage of the Lamb. Man. These are the things he had to say about it. And so we're gonna go that route this morning. Revelation 19:1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again he said, they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and all ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and a voice of many waters, and as the voice of a mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife had made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And then I want to read from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, 2, 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we look upon your word this morning, we know these are the words of life, not just mortal life, but eternal life. And Lord, we thank you because you've given us the ability to be here today, and a desire and a heart to be here. to look upon these things, to hear these things. Lord, that we just come into your presence, that you would speak your words into our heart, and God, that it would make a difference in our life. And we know it does. We know it's a blessing to be in the presence of your word. And so we just thank you this morning, Lord. And we give you the liberty this morning to come and speak to us and move up and down the aisles, speak to every heart and into every life. We love you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The marriage of the Lamb. Brother Branham, he starts off when he's in this sermon, he says, you know, we're very familiar with this passage of Scripture, because the whole message we have now is the whole message that's here right now is all about the marriage of the Lamb. And as I've mentioned many times, that the whole plan of God from beginning to end throughout all history was to come to the place where he would find that bride, have that wife. And so we're so familiar with it because, you know, probably I have, and probably every other minister in the whole entire message has preached over and over about this, because it is marriage time. It is a culmination of all the scriptures coming down now. So it's time till the Lamb is going to have his wife. And Brother Ben said that there is going to be a bride. There's no question about that. There's no question. There is going to be a bride. There is going to be a rapture. I don't care what the world says. There's going to be a rapture. There's going to be a marriage supper where the bride is there with him. And we are going to appear. Brother Brim said she is going to appear before God without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, or any such thing. There's no question. He said there's going to be a marriage supper just as sure as God exists, as sure as God is. There's going to be a marriage supper and a great gathering time. And so we believe that. And so, Brother Branham, in reading these scriptures that we read there in Revelation 19, he said, he wanted you to notice that we have the materials to make ourselves ready. And I'll be reading several quotes here. Hope that's okay. Brother Bram says, and they have the materials on earth now to make themselves ready. He said that back then. And if you notice, it said, she has made herself ready. So many say, if the Lord will take away this evil spirit from me, from drinking or from gambling or from lying or stealing, I'll serve him. But Brother Bram said, but that's up to you. See, you got to do something too. They that overcome shall inherit all things. They that overcome. You have the power to do it, but you must be willing to lay it down. See, she has made herself ready. I like that word, Brother Brim said. And so he says, there's something we have to do, because so many people say, well, if the Lord would do this, if the Lord would do that. And he says, no, that's your responsibility. But the key there, I want to show you there, is like I've said so many times, God would not call you in to do something and not equip you to do it. And he's not telling us to be overcomers to this age and having not provided what we need to be overcomers to this age. But the thing is we have to be willing to use it. We have to be willing to take the promises that God has given us in this day and put them to action in our life, and we have to overcome. And so he goes on to say that God can't just push you through a pipe. He says, you see, God can't just push you through a pipe and then pull us out on the other end and then say, blessed is he that overcometh. You have nothing to overcome. He just pushed you through. But you've got to make a decision for yourself. I have to make a decision for myself. And in doing that, we show our faith and our respects toward God. So God has laid this whole thing out there, and he says, there it is. It's all there for you. It's there, but you've got to put it into action. There's something you have to do. He's not going to peck your way out of the egg for you. Brother Ram talked about that. If you try to help a chicken pecking its way out of the egg, he said it'll kill it. And that's right. And I've often thought about that God is, given us this great message, and we have to put it in place and put it in action in our lives and cause it to bring to pass the things that it's already laying there. We just have to act upon it. And God can't come down and just do it for us. There's a certain thing about it where we have to do it. We have to put it in action. He's done it, but we have to put it in action. It's by our faith. And he said, when we do that, we are showing our faith and our respects to God. And so we know that's to be true. So he said, we have to fight for every bit of ground that's given to us. He said, Abraham was promised a child, but he must maintain that promise for 25 years. The ups and downs that he had, the temptations in those 25 years. But he held to the word of promise, and Israel was promised a promised land, but they had to fight for every inch of it. Wherever the sole of your feet treads upon, that have I given you, God said to Joshua. It was all there. The land was there, and God gave it to them, but they must fight for it. And the same way it is about divine healing. God's got the power to heal you if you've got the courage to accept it.
Right.
But you'll fight for every inch, all of the way. God has got amazing grace to save you, and he will do it, but you'll fight for every inch of your way. I've been behind this pulpit for 31 years, and every inch of it has been a fight constantly. It certainly has. And so, you know, I've mentioned this before, and, you know, I don't know what everybody else does, but when you get up in the morning, you typically don't think, you know, I'm getting up today and I'm going to fight. The devil's coming at me. I know you just get up and you're going about your own way. Next thing you know, here comes the devil or whatever. But we have to realize that as Christians, as Brother Brim said, there's a target on our back. Things coming our way, things to upset us, things to test us and try, and Satan trying to hinder us and so forth. And so being a Christian is a fight. That's all there is to it. You know, living is a fight, right? The fact that you're alive and breathing and you're able to walk, and you have defied so many things that have tried to come against you and stop you from living. You know, as Brother Harold Beckett said, you won the race in your mother's womb, right? There was millions of those germ cells that was headed toward the egg, and you beat all of them. You're already overcomers, right? I watched a thing here a while back about all the things that has to take place for that whole process for impregnation to happen. And that little germ going through, there's all kinds of stuff that's trying to take that thing out that he has to overcome and get past. So you're already overcomers, and the fact that you're here this morning, you're overcomers, because a lot of you probably didn't feel like coming. I didn't feel like coming today, but praise God, I'm here.
Right.
Amen. But we're overcomers.
Right.
And so we have to arm ourselves with that understanding, that mindset. We are here to fight. To live is to fight. And so as Abraham had to fight all those years, and Israel had to fight for every inch of ground, it was there. As he said, it was there for them. They just had to go get it. And so God gave it to them, but he gives it to you through you acting out and taking that promise to heart. And so Brother Bam tells us that's the way it is with us. So he said, you know, we have to lay aside every weight and the sin, as we read there in the scriptures. We have to lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. As the scripture said there, we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, you know, if I need to do something, I don't know how to do it, I typically look for somebody that's got some knowledge about it. Been working, putting a shower unit into my bathroom, and Brother Matthew's given me all kinds of good information, you know, tricks of the trade, and I thank him for doing that, because it saved me a lot of headache. It kept me from making some mistakes. But whenever you're going to do something, you really need to, if you don't already know how to do it, you need to go to someone who does. And the scripture said he is the author and the finisher of our faith. If there's one entity in this whole entire universe that we need to go talk to, would be the one who is the author and finisher of our faith, because he's the one that started it and he's the one that's going to finish it. And if we want to finish well, then it's going to be what he has established, being the author and finisher of our faith. And so it says, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured opposition, endured the cross. And so the scripture tells us there to look to what he suffered, to look what he put up with,
right,
lest we faint in our own minds, lest we get discouraged, and in ourselves we think that our battle is just too hard. And that's exactly what happened.
Right.
Well, he begins to say, oh, it's just too hard. Nobody has to fight like I do. But the scripture said, you look to him. It goes on to say that we haven't resisted unto blood. I haven't yet stood for this gospel to the place where I had to shed my blood for it yet, unless it would be getting a splinter when I was working here at the church doing something or something like that. And so we've not suffered yet like that. And so the scriptures is just telling us that we're going to be fighting battles. This is a warfare. This is a fight. And to look to Jesus and take courage. And because if you don't do that, you're going to get discouraged and faint in your own heart. And so this all means that we have battles, and we fight battles. You know, Wednesday night, Brother Daniel had ministered, and a portion of the service was about suicide. And it got me to thinking, because it's been a long, long time since I had entertained any thoughts of suicide, and it was when I was a child growing up. And I can tell you that the only time that happened to me, it was because I was feeling sorry for myself because of the way people were treating me. And it was, you know, there's a lot of things that go through your mind like that. And so, but if you realize that we're here to fight, we're here in a battle, and there's going to be opposition. And if that's all you're looking at, you're going to be discouraged. But you have to be like Jesus. You have to, for the joy that's set before him, that he was looking to what was going to be purchased. He was looking to the end of the road, and that was a joy to him. And when he kept his eyes on that, he was able to endure that cross. Remember, he had his own will. He said, not my will, Father, thy will. And so he wants to encourage us to do the same thing. And if I'm going around saying, oh, everything's bad on me, and I'm having a rough time, and nobody's treating me right and all that, you're going to start getting discouraged. You're going to start thinking bad thoughts and things like that. But the whole thing is to keep your eyes on the blessing and the end of the road. And so, yes, I had those thoughts growing up at certain times because of the environment I was in. But I can look back on that and see that it was all because I was feeling sorry for myself, and they shouldn't treat me like this. And I tell you what I'll do. I'll just take myself out, and then they'll be sorry. That's the whole thing. And it's all about feeling sorry for self. We've got to change our thinking. It's not about, oh, how much I'm suffering. Because while we're suffering, we're purchasing something better down the road.
Right.
For those that we love, and it's through sacrifice that life comes. We've got to arm ourselves with that kind of thinking, because that's what Jesus did. And so, look at the blessing. And I'm not saying anything nice about myself, but just so you understand, I want you to apply it to your life. Look at the blessings that other people would not have if you took yourself out in suicide. The gift that you have, and you have to realize, if a brother years ago, I think Brother Ryan, my Aunt Mary remembers him, he said, if the devil's not fighting you, you're on his side.
Right.
And I heard a guy one time, Archer Barnhill, and he was preaching, and he said, I think it was a vision he had, but he said, he saw that Satan up like a snake, he was up in the mountains, and he was resting. And he'd raise up, and he'd look down, and he'd look at all the churches. And he'd lay back down, and he'd rest. And so there's nobody down there that's bothering me. He'd raise up, and he'd look. Nobody's a threat. And he'd lay down and rest. All right? So we want to be a threat to the devil.
Right.
And you know that if you are a threat to the devil, then he's coming at you. to try and upset you. But just remember, you are part of the plan of redemption. That's why he's after you. That's why Satan wants to fight you. Everybody in the world has little troubles and things like that, but everybody in the world don't have a bullseye on their back like the bride does. Because that's his defeat, right? He's defeated, but it comes through that. And so we know it's just a fight. So Brother Ram tells us, you know, well, there's something we have to do. We can't just sit back and expect God to do it all for us. We have to put feet and actions to these things that he's given us. And that's not trying to tell you to live by works. That's just telling you by the grace of God, pick up these promises and go obtain what belongs to you. So Brother Ram tells us that earthly marriages are a type of the heavenly. We know that natural type spiritual. And he starts out, he says, you know, over time, as you're married, you begin to realize that you can't really do without your wife or your spouse. You learn over time, the further you go down the road, the more you love them, and the more you realize that they just are what you needed in life. My wife and I, we've joked about it many times, about I was born, and then 4 days later, she was born. Because the Lord said, well, I've made him, now I've got to make a helpmate for him. And but over time you realize, I don't know what I'd do without my wife, or you feel that way about your spouse. Man. And how many can say that's the way it is in the natural? You know that I do. Man. But I'm saying all that to say this, that's the way it is with the Lord. That when you come to know him and you've walked with him through the years and you've seen his faithfulness and to take care of you, and it just gets greater and better and greater. And you know, early on when you're married, you have all kinds of glorious times. But as you get older, you can't have those glorious times in the flesh so much like you get older. Now you know, you get up in the morning, you're like this. And if you've worked hard the day before, and you can't just bounce up. But yet, as in the natural strength of things is waning over the years, the love you have for your spouse is doing the opposite. The love you have is gaining. And that's the way it is with the Lord. We may not have the great Pentecostal movements that we've had in the past, you know, in that, but our love for the Lord and our trust in his word and the settling you have in your heart, it's greater down the road than it was when you began. Early on, you might be wondering, worrying about your spouse, whether they would run off and go marry someone else or leave you or something like that, you know. But after you've went many, many years and you become to know each other in the way that you have, then you begin to realize there's no worries. I'm stuck with her and she's stuck with me. I wouldn't call it stuck, but you understand what I'm saying. And that's the way it is. After a while, you begin to realize, you know, I belong to the Lord. Right. And he belongs to me. Man. And there's no separating. You know, we're just in this together. And yeah, we're going to have battles and ups and downs and all that. But we're together. Because we're one. You know? And so, that's the way it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Brother Bram says in marriage, he says, first, there has to be a decision. You have to decide, a woman has to decide whether she wants to marry this man or he vice versa. You have to make a decision. Will I marry this person? Will I love them all their life and serve and do all the things that I should do? So first you have to have a decision. And then Brother Ram said, then secondly, there has to be an engagement. And he said, the engagement is what you find at the altar. And what he's talking about there is that you decide, you realize, I want to give my heart to the Lord. That's a decision you make. Right. And there's all kinds of things that lead to that decision. But once you make that decision, you've got to give that to him at the altar. And so you come, and whether it's the altar here or just in your prayer closet or just in your heart, the altar's in your heart, that's where you come and you make that engagement to him. You enter into engagement and say, I accept you, I want you. And so you make engagements, an engagement, And he said, you find that at the altar. And he said, then thirdly, there's promises that have to be made. You have to make promises to your spouse. And I don't know. Many people may have. I don't know. I don't remember specifically doing this to my wife necessarily, but maybe I've been many years down the road. Maybe I did, and I just don't remember it. But Brother Bram says you have to make promises, and you have to make promises and say, Lord, or to your spouse, I promise to do this, and I promise to do that. And so I'll just read what he says about it. You have to make promises. He said, sweetheart, if you'll marry me, I promise you that I'll be loyal and true. I will look upon no other woman, or I'll look upon no other man, and I'll do all that as a duty as a wife. We have children. It'll do all as a duty as a mother or as a housekeeper. All these promises have got to be made, Brother Brim said, or it should be in a correct wedding. And that's the same thing that when you come to Christ, Lord, if you will receive me into your kingdom, I promise, there you are, I love you, I'll be true to you, I'll serve you day and night. Brother Branham said, it's too bad that they forgot that. I'll serve you day and night, I'll fast, I'll pray, I'll be loyal to you, I'll bring my tithes into the storehouse, I'll pray many times a day. I'll do anything, and I pledge all my love to you, and that's what you should do. So Brother Branham says, all these promises have to be made, and I don't know if I ever sat down and told my wife, if you'll marry me, I'll be true, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do all these things, whatever. But Brother Branham says that all these promises has got to be made, and they should be made in a correct wedding. And so, of course, you say, well, that's the vows. That's the vows of the ceremony that you promised to do those things. But it says those promises have to be made. And if it's a correct marriage, then it is. And so he said, that's the way it is when we come to the Lord. And I've quoted many times where Brother Ram said that the bride has a responsibility to prayer and to the word to Christ as a woman has for her husband, a responsibility to be wife. And so that's what he's talking about. But there's promises. And so I don't remember when I gave my heart to the Lord. And a lot of people say, Lord, you know, forgive me my sins and so forth. I don't remember specifically way back then that I said, Lord, if you'll save me, I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do that. I didn't necessarily do that, even though I think that's probably what I have done. But the point I'm getting at is Brother Bramble says that there's promises have to be made. And so, if you've not made promises to the Lord, maybe you should make them. And then, because then you've got something you have to keep. When you make promises and you give them your word, now you've got something that you hold to and something that you can keep to be honorable. So, these are the things Brother Bram said that is required in a marriage. And so you have to make these promises. And then Brother Bram says the promises have to be made from the heart. Has to come from your heart. Because he said if you don't do it from your heart, it's not right anyway. There's a lot of people come and say their idea of becoming a Christian is just joining a church or shaking the preacher's hand or paying their tithes or something like that. But that's not what it is. It's promises and a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ as he does for you what he has so wonderfully done. And then your thankfulness back to him, giving honor to him. So it has to be from your heart. Brother Bram says it can't be like a false arm. Say if you had an arm that was amputated and you had another one put on, a fake arm. And nowadays they got all kinds of neat things, right, that actually work. But he said, you know, that arm really isn't part of you. It's if it's been amputated and you've got a fake one, even though it's there, and you might be able to move it and stuff like that, but it's really not part of you. And he said, that's the way it is in marriage. It can't be just something fake. You can't just be acting out or whatever. We have to become part of him, to where it's actually him in us. And so it can't be like a fake arm or body part or something like that. It has to be a real thing that's actually connected to us, to him, and be part of him. So it has to come from your heart. And Brother Graham said that if it doesn't come from your heart, like a female, if you don't love your husband from your heart and you're not entered into this from your heart, he said, then all you're doing is raising his children. That's the comment he made. That's all you're doing is raising his children. And when I heard that and I read that, my mind went back to the King Ahasuerus, or whatever his name was, and his queen Vashti. You remember the story there in Esther? That when the king called for his wife, called for his queen, she refused to come. He wanted all the officers in his kingdom, you know, he wanted to see them to see the beauty of his wife. Not in a, I'm not talking about in a bad way, but a man who has a good wife is not ashamed of her.
Right.
He wanted her to come. He wanted them to see the royalty of his wife and the beauty of his wife. She refused to come. And you know what happened? She refused to come, and so that set a precedence that would go out through all the land, 127 provinces or something. I don't remember, it was a bunch. The guy pretty much was king of the whole world at the time. And it would go out, and all the wives in the land would decide they don't need to obey their husband or call, come when their husband called, whatever. So they knew that wasn't good. So they put her away, took that position of the queen away from her, and sought after someone else who could take that position. And in the process of all that, you understand that the king had concubines. These women, when they were seeking someone to take Vashti's place, these women would come in and they would spend the night with the king. And then if he didn't want that one to be queen, he just sent her over into the place with the concubines. And you realize that concubines can raise children to the king. But concubines do not have the crown on their head as queen. That's the difference. And so, he said, when I thought about that, where he said, if you don't really love him from your heart, then all you're doing is raising his children. And we're thinking about this spiritual now. That a people could have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, could have God working in their lives, but if they're really not right in their heart, then all they're doing is bringing offspring, but he's not put the crown on their head. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the bride has to come to a place where she's not just another concubine. She's not just a church that the Holy Spirit can do things through. But she has to come to the place where he crowns her, which sets her apart from all the other churches, from all the other concubines, all that, right? That sets that apart. And we know in the scriptures, those things are there for a reason. And this message wouldn't even be fully the same today if it wasn't for that in the scriptures, because it testifies to the very gospel message we tell you in this end time. That she has to have a certain virtue about her.
Amen.
And so we want to be more than just concubines. We want to be crowned.
Amen.
And we realize it's a crown of life. Amen. So Brother Bram says the fourth thing that must happen then, after you make these promises from the heart, is there must be a ceremony. And when that ceremony happens, he says, that's when she takes his name. That's when she becomes Mrs. Jesus Christ. But there must be a ceremony. And she takes his name, And then she's no longer a church of the world, but she's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the words that he used. You talk to so many people, and they say, are you a Christian? Well, I'm this. I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Methodist, or whatever, or I'm in the message. I'll throw that in there. But you can be all those things and not be Christians.
Right?
And so, because you could be all that, and all that's just a concubine. But once you have the ceremony where he places the crown upon your head and makes you queen, then you have his name. You're not just bearing his children, but you have his name, and he finds in you a quality that makes you worthy of being in that position. So when that happens, you're no longer a Baptist, Methodist, whatever, but you are the bride of Christ. You're the church of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Where he has given you that experience based upon what he knows of his character that's there, that he has testified that he accepted you. Not just you saying, oh, I'm a Christian, but he has put something in your life that shows that he's there. We call it the Holy Ghost. But the ceremony is when she takes his name, and that's when she becomes the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at that point, they are no longer, they're no longer two, but they are one. Amen?
Amen.
They become one
right.
When that happens. And the scripture tells us that he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. So we have to begin to realize that if you're really, really baptized with the Holy Ghost under this message, that then the life that's in you, that's you, is him. And the life that's in you, that's him, is you. You understand?
Right.
Because you're one.
Yeah.
You're one. You operate together. Because if you start operating different than him, then you're not one. And God's program is perfect. So he comes and makes you one with him, and that's the point of no return right there. Once you receive that seal, it's done. You belong to him just like my wife belongs to me and I belong to her. It's done, right? It's a done thing. And so from that point on, they're no longer two, but they're one, and that means that the Holy Ghost is now living in her. And that he will show his life in her. And we all know that when a woman and a man get married, it's not very long until you can tell that she's been with him. Because she's the one that shows it. She can't hide it. Right? You can't tell. He just goes about it, whatever. But the evidence lays with her. Right? And we know what he is. But something has to happen to show that we've been with him. And that something has to happen in our lives to show that his life is here and living through us. And so we understand those things from a natural standpoint. But Brother Branham is saying these things. He says they're no longer two, but now they're one. And he comes and lives within her. And he says, and then at that point, she has rights to everything he possesses. Once you go into that ceremony, she now has rights to everything he owns, everything he possesses. So I'm going to ask you what, I have a welding machine, okay? My wife has rights to that. I don't think she'd want it, but she has rights to that, She has rights to everything I have. And what about us and the Lord Jesus Christ? The Brother Bram is saying we have rights to everything he possesses. So what does the Lord Jesus Christ possess? Healing, joy, salvation, miracles, eternal life, joy without end. I mean, what does he not have that we want, right? Everything that we could ever possibly want in our right mind, he has. But Brother Bram is telling us through the eyes of a prophet that once you reach that place, then you have access to everything that he possesses. Every bit of it. So he says that then she can go do everything that he would do. She can, and she does. She does. We have the thing, what would Jesus do? You know? But what he's able to do, and as the scripture said in the little books of John, as he is, so are we in this world. That's what it says.
Right.
So whatever he is, that's who we are. Whatever he would do in this world right now, that's what we're doing. Right? And there's nothing that God, that Christ has in him that he desires to have in place in this world that we can't have access to. And what I'm showing you is there that we are that body once we come to that union, and what he does in this world, he does it through us. And we have access to all those things. Everything that God called us to do and be in this hour, he's equipped us because we have access to it through our union with him. You know, we know these things, but it's different to actually put it into flesh and live it. Amen. But these are the things that belongs to the bride of Christ. If we've made those promises, we come to that ceremony, he's put his life within us, then we need to believe that we have access to everything he said we can have. That's not to blab it, grab it. That's not just to go wild and to say, I'm going to have whatever.
Right.
But the things that matter to him is what matters to us. When Brother Brandon says she knows what to do with the word, because she becomes the word. She's become one with it. We say, well, I'm afraid I'll make the wrong decision. You won't make the wrong decision if you're one with him. If you always include him in what you're doing, you won't make the wrong decisions. If you let someone else influence you, or if you have your own desires like Jesus did in himself, he had his own will, but he submitted that will because he was in tune with the Father. And as long as you're in tune with that one you're married to, or the one that is your leadership, you won't make mistakes. And the fact that we have the full word here now, and that's present, then as long as we consult that and we're walking in unity and in faith and prayer to that person, the person of the word, then we're going to live the word because we're one with him now. But we're just like Jesus. We could say, well, I have a will, and that is I don't want to do this. I don't want to have this walk up Calvary. Right? Jesus said, Father, you know, the fact that he said, Father, not my will, but thy will, showed you that he had a will separate than walking up that mountain. And that was in his flesh. He feared and didn't. But he let that give way to the Father's will. And because we have the perfect word here now that has been vindicated among us, the person has come, and that's who we're married to, as long as we live that life and not try to live our own will, then we won't make mistakes. But if we let our own will get in the way, or somebody else try to influence us, and other pressures come upon us so that we deviate from that will, that perfect word of God, then we start making mistakes, doing things, and you understand what I'm saying. So it's important. We are called in this life, in marriage to Christ, to walk in unity with him, not anything else.
Right?
Right? My wife is called to walk in unity with me. Right? And if her mind is on somebody else, her mind's on some other man, or her mind's on some other agenda, and I'm sitting here and she's not fulfilling her responsibility as a wife to me, right? Then you see something's gotten in the way. There's something wrong with the union. And so that's the way it is with us and the Lord Jesus Christ. So she has access to everything that he has, and everything he does through her in this earth today. And so, what if in that relationship, Brother Brent says, what if she runs off with another man? What if she starts giving her love to someone else? And things of the world, you know, talking about Christians, what if we start giving the love and devotion that we should have to him in this the marriage of the Lamb? If the love and the devotions and honor that we are to have to him, if we start sharing that elsewhere, then what about it? Because if we start sharing it elsewhere, then we're neglecting him. This would be good for you to think about in your real, in your natural marriages.
Right.
You have responsibilities to each other, not to other people and so forth. And whatever you do should be with consent. Right? And so, that's the way it is with Jesus Christ. And so, what if we start sharing ourselves with other things and neglecting Christ? So this is what Brother Bram was saying. If we start letting worldly things start taking the place of Christ. He gives all kinds of examples, staying home on Wednesday night to watch I Love Susie or whatever, different things like that. But when we know that it's supposed to be a baptism of the Holy Ghost in our lives, that we live the Word and live Christ, the Holy Ghost, and we pull away from that and make a handshake out of it, or make it joining a church or something like that, or make it, well, I'm in the message, but you've left that off. Then, you see, that is going and giving honor to something other than Christ. So he says, he referred to her, she'd go wild. That if a woman does that, she's gone wild because she's left her vows and so forth and goes off into another thing. And Brother Bram said that if there's some portion of the Word of God that we disagree with, there's something wrong with our vow. Right. There's something wrong with our union. I'm sorry, he said our union. Something wrong with our union. Because Christ is the Word. He is the Word. And you reject any portion of Him, then you're rejecting Christ.
Right.
So he said, if there was any portion that we didn't believe, then there's something wrong with our union. Because in a real union, we're one in unity. When Esther became queen, Brother Bram says, and all these quotes come out of Marriage of the Lamb. Brother Bram said, Esther was to become queen, so she didn't want none of the adorning of the world. She wanted to go in to the king just like she was. She adorned herself like the Pentecostal women ought to, with a meek and humble spirit. And when all these fancy first ladies came in with all their new fandangled things, the king looked at them and he put them in the chamber with the concubines. Did they have a night with the king? Yeah. Probably even some of them probably had babies by the king from that experience. But they come in with all their new fandango things, as he said. And the king looked at them and put them in the chamber of the concubines. But when this Esther came into his sight, and he got one glimpse of that sweet, humble, meek spirit, he said, that's her. Go get the crown and put it on her head. That's it. And let them adorn themselves with that kind of spirit. Talking about today. Not only women, but the men too. Adorn themselves with that kind of spirit. And then you're becoming ready for the bride. Sweet, reverent Esther made her heart clean. So Esther didn't just come before the king with the right apparel on. But the apparel, her appearance, her adherence to the thing that the chamberlain had given her and said, here's what the king likes or whatever, and she only required those things that he told her, right? So when she went before the king, not only was she just dressed right, but the dressing right spoke of the spirit that was in her, right?
Right.
So the life we live outside speaks of what's inside us. And if we're really in a union with the Word, then the Word is what's number one to us. We make room and make way for our vows to the Lord, for our relationship as the bride of Christ to Jesus Christ the Word, That becomes first always. And then upon agreement between he and the Word and us, right? Our experience with the Lord. Upon agreement by the Holy Spirit that we can go do something and give a little attention here to this and go do this or go do that. Then that's okay. We're not dishonoring our vows to him because it's all in agreement with him, because we've consulted the Word in our day to make sure what we're about to do agrees with the Word. Follow me? But if we, without talking, without working out, we're just going to go, and, you know, next thing you know, he's being neglected. Vice versa, I'm not trying to be one-sided with it. You understand the way this works. There's responsibilities both directions. You can ignore your wife and mistreat her too. It's just as important. But we stay with the male being the, because of Christ being the leader of the church. We speak that most of the time because of what it is, the typology there. But it's there both ways. Amen? So Esther, he's pointing this out for this marriage of the Lamb, that Esther, again, when she went before the king, she didn't go with all this modern day stuff that all these new churches have nowadays. She went in with a humble, meek spirit. She didn't go in there saying all loud and boastful and mouthy and all flashy with all the fancy clothes and all the $10,000 perfume or whatever. She went in there with humility. She went in there with something that a man could look at and say, that's the way I want my home to be. Because Brother Ram said, when you look at a woman and you marry her, you're looking at what your future home is going to be, how she's going to raise her children and how that, right? And so he could look at Esther and say, now that's somebody that I want to raise the next king for my kingdom. Right?
Right.
So it matters. And so, Brother Bram said, when that king looked at all those other ones, he just said, take them to the concubine headquarters or whatever they call it. But when he saw her, he said, that's the one that I elevate to a position that she's not just a concubine. She's not just come before me and received a baptism of the Holy Ghost upon her, but this is the one that I'm going to crown. This is the one that I want the whole world to see. The very thing that Vashti didn't do when he called. Now he's got one that he wants the world to see. Amen. So you understand where this is heading.
Right.
We're coming to a place where there will be a bride. She will be before him without spot or blemish or wrinkle or any such thing. And he will testify, this is her, to the rest of the world. May not be while you and I are in this flesh, but we're headed to a place where the bride is going to, he's going to testify and say, this is the Queen of Heaven, the real Queen of Heaven. Amen.
Yeah.
We believe that. And so, Brother Bam tells in this, as he gets to the end of the sermon, he tells a story about a young lady that had went over into Rome to go to a school over there to learn how to be an artist, to paint. She and a whole bunch of other people from here in America went over there. Well, all the other people, they'd go out at night and they'd just go wild, go get drunk, party and all that stuff. She didn't do that. She was over there for over 2 years. And she'd go out and she would, of an evening, and she would look out across the ocean, or wherever it was she was at. And, you know, she just didn't do the things that all the rest of them did. And Brother Ben said one of the custodians there that run the place or whatever, that was cleaning or whatever, had noticed her for over 2 years, and he finally went to her and he said, I noticed that you don't live like the rest of these students that come with you from America. They go out and drink and do all these things, but you don't do that. And he said, I'm wanting to know why. He said, you know, I hope you don't misunderstand me. He said, you're out here every night, you look across there. And she said, well, she said, over over that ocean, over the body of water, is a land over there. There's a certain state. And in that state, there's a certain city. And in that city, there's a certain house. And in that house, there's a certain man. That he's an artist also. It said, we made vows to one another that we would be true to one another and that there would be nobody else. No, nothing else. Just, and so she said, that's why I don't do the things I do, because my vow to him and he to me. Brother Graham said, she said, that's the reason I act the way I do. I'm true to the promises I made that boy. And remember a while ago he said, you've got to make promises. You have to make promises for it to be the right kind of marriage. You make promises to the Lord. And so she said, this is the reason why I act the way I do. I'm true to the promises I made a boy. And he's true to the promise he made to me. She said, I hear from him now and then. And I write him and said, corresponding with one another. And we're still holding our vows, waiting for the day that we meet. Brother Bram said, oh, how that would do for real Christians to get away from the things of the world. So she's getting away from all that nonsense of all them other people and consecrating herself and getting away from that stuff because her mind is on that one at home that someday she's going to see. And Brother Rip said, oh, how that would do for real Christians to get away from things of the world. And he said, and someday, you talk about coming into port on the wings of a dove, he's coming for a bride, one that don't fool with the world or these things of the world. She is washed in the blood of the Lamb. She's purged. Her love is to him only. The love of the world is gone and dead to her. The marriage of the Lamb has come. And his bride hath made herself ready. Amen. So Brother Brown was showing there that making yourself ready, you know, she's there, that lady was over there, and she had nothing to do with all the things that everybody else was doing. She stayed to herself to keep her mind upon him, the one she made vows to, made promises to. And Brother Brown said, that's the thing that we need to do. Separate ourselves from the things of the world. From the things that would get in the way and begin to chip away from our promises to him. Amen.
Right.
He said, that's the bride hath made herself ready. And then I'll make a comment here as it closes. You ever stop to think that the waiting, we've had this message for a long time, and I know that we have to come to maturity and all that sort of thing, but if Christ is in you, if you've already had that union, then it's a done deal. It doesn't matter. Maybe you grow in more spiritual understanding as time goes on, whatever, but you're his, right? When he takes his spirit from the earth, he'll take you from there.
Amen.
But have you ever stopped to think that the waiting that we're doing is part of the test? It is. Checking to see the whiles she's waiting on me to come. As the Lord would say that. It's while she's waiting on him to come get her, what is she doing? Is she staying true to her vow? Has she made a vow to me, to him? You know, has she made that vow? Has she made promises? And is she holding to that promise? And is she staying away from things of the world so that she's not defiled by the things of the world? That is the waiting is the trial. That is the test. But the bride makes herself ready. And she's the one that makes herself ready by clothing herself with the word, by the things that is here already. We've just got to fight for it, make up our mind, and fight to be what we're supposed to be, and shut out everything that's not like him. That's all we can do. Amen. And that is the test. That is the trial. And remember the quote we read the other day, Brother Graham said that she, being tested in this time of the God of this evil age, that during this time, why would God, you know, be choosing a people, a bride, as he said, during an age that is referred to as the God of Satan's Eden or God's evil, God of his evil age and so forth. And he said it was to test her, to try her, to prove that she's not like Eve. Amen. To prove that even though she comes face to face with that enemy, but she's got the commission to stay with the Word, and she stays with the Word.
Right.
Amen. And that's the hour we live in. So I hope you're encouraged this morning. And if you haven't made vows to the Lord, make them. As we pray here in just a moment, make your vows to the Lord. Reconsecrate your life to Him. You know, really, we reconsecrate our lives to the Lord every day, every time you kneel in prayer. But we really want to daily examine ourselves and say, is my mind, and what I about, is it about Him, or is He being neglected? And we don't want to do that. Amen. Amen. So let's let the musicians come. We'll pray. Lord, as we come to the end of this service, we just want to say, Lord, that we thank You for Your wonderful blessings upon us. And Lord, we just want to say that we're sorry, that, Lord, that we've kept You waiting. You've been on the sidelines. We've got our minds caught up in other things of the world that's just took away our time and our devotions to You. We ask, God, that You forgive us. And we pray, God, that we'd be more diligent so today we could reconsecrate ourselves to You and to Your this wonderful gospel that You give. Lord, I pray that You help us to put on this garment with joy and happiness, knowing that the plan of redemption works through us this day, that You're on this earth and You're doing things. Your plan of redemption is through Your people. We love You, Lord. We just ask that You just send forth this word.